Patrick. Centering feet, bounces for Sam Girard in space. He scores! Sam Girard!
This is a long tilt. Right by McDermott. To the right by McDermott. Right by DeLaurier. Right by DeLaurier. To the right by McDermott. Right by McDermott. Right by McDermott. Right by McDermott. Right by DeLaurier. Another right by McDermott. And now here come the linesmen. I'm not sure I had enough oxygen left for the remainder of that fight.
Here's Panarin at the near circle. Panarin leaves it back for Lindgren. Lindgren with a pass to the far wing, and they score! Rangers get it out to that far wing, and they score, and they make it a 4-3 game.
I just thought we got exposed today for being a team that was just soft and purposeless.
TSN 1200.
You know when Sheldon Keefe gets that scrunchy face going? He's mad. And the gentlemen, the F-bombs are flying. Purposeless. I have never heard an NHL team described as purposeless before, and I'm here for it. I like it. Welcome back, everybody. 8:15 here on a Thursday morning, a Sens game day Thursday. It's the Sens and Pens tonight at 7. 5 o'clock will be our pregame show right here on TSN 1200. There's some highlights from around the league. It was a quiet night, relatively speaking. Leafs fell to the Rangers. We had Colorado beating Anaheim, and we had yet another epic fight call. That Curtis McDermott, Nicholas DeLaurier fight probably lasted more than a minute. Our friend, the play-by-play man there in Colorado, ran out of breath by the end. And his call sort of reminded me of the fight that our next guest may have been in one day back when he took on Craig Berube. Back in his day. That, of course, would be TSN's Mike Johnson, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Mike?
And another right. McDermott with another right. That guy's unbelievable. I want to hear that guy call a boxing match.
Yeah.
That is just rapid fire play-by-play. It's incredible. Tastes a good picture, though.
Oh, he does. That fight, I think, was about a minute 15. And literally, at the end, he said, I am out of breath. They couldn't have thrown another punch, and I couldn't have described another one. So it was good. It was excellent. So there we go.
Doing the punching.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Listen, a lot of different things we can go at you with, but let's start. You've done a pile of Montreal games this year. They announced their new general manager earlier in the week, and he was introduced yesterday, Kent Hughes. Like everybody, when you start a new job, you got lots of optimism, and this is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to go about it. But then the reality sets in. So how big of a job do you think he has in front of him?
Well, they're the worst team in the league, and they have the highest payroll. So could you be in a worse spot? I mean, really, like, it's quite succinctly, like, that is it. You pay more money and are getting less than anybody in the league. So it's a massive job. And there's lots of reasons why they're having such a bad year, and some of them will not be around in the future, whether it's health and, you know, everyone playing every game. But, I think what he has to do to start will be, the easy stuff is you trade Ben Chiarot and you trade Brett Kulak and you shop out your UFAs. But the harder questions, and I think the ones he has to ask, and it goes both ways, right? Like, the organization has to watch and talk to the players that are veteran players on long-term contracts. So that is Carey Price, Savard, Petrie, Drouin, Hoffman, Gallagher, Anderson, all of those kind of players. And they have to ask, do we want these guys around or about to undergo? Is that help us? Does that put us where we want to be? And the players also need to decide, because a lot of them have no move protection of some kind, one way or the other. Do we as players want to stay here for what is about to happen? If that's going to be a few years of maybe stripping it down a little bit and then building it back up. And then when you come up with the guys that are not going to be there because they don't want to or you don't want them, that's the challenge. How do you start to try to shape your lineup by moving out some of those high-salaried guys with lots of term who probably are not performing good value for those contracts? What do you do with those guys, and how quickly can you unpack what's going on there? Because I look at, they played Arizona this past week, right? Arizona wins the game, probably a bit of the better team in the game. And in some ways, as bad as Arizona is, they're ahead of Montreal because at least Arizona has done the first part, which is, like, strip it down to the studs. Like, there's nothing left in Arizona. They'll trade a couple guys. But, like, they've already started. They're getting their picks. They've got their direction established, and they've traded a lot of their big-name guys. Montreal still has to do that, and that might take, I don't know, more than a deadline, more than a draft, more than a year before they can kind of flush out some of those contracts. So that is his challenge, and it's a big one.
Do you like the negotiation and, I guess I'll say, MJ, people skills that a former agent brings to a situation like Montreal?
Yeah. I mean, he obviously would be a talented negotiator. But, I mean, I think, like, so Simmer, you're a smart guy. You understand the numbers of the game. You understand the players. Like, there's a reason why I can guess what every contract is going to be within a couple hundred thousand dollars, like, months in advance. Like, it's not that rare, or it's not that common that you get, oh, my God, that is a gross overpayment, or, oh, my God, that is a wildly bargain basement contract. Most of them fall right in line with what everyone assumes they will be. So, yes, that's a skill. Yes, it's an advantage for sure. But I don't know if it's going to be enough to make that big of a difference, because contracts generally fall in line where just what anyone would take them.
Yeah, I guess I'd go back to the people skills, and I think about Pierre Lacroix. Like, your ability now to navigate this is going to be sitting down with a Carey Price. If an example of somebody want to move, in how you handle that and how you sit down with Price and even possibly his family and handle his departure, if that's what you're doing, along with finding a suitable place, I like that agents kind of have a feel for that, because as you've dealt with, they're not just talking to you. They're talking to your wife. You know, there's a lot of things there that I think that skill set brings to the table.
Yes, if you want to be, yes, when you talk about that personal touch, because the agent has done his whole, like, he has looked at hockey through the lens of supporting the player, maximizing the player's experience, both financially and emotionally, right?
Yeah.
So even if he's on the other side of the coin, he still has been trained to look at it through player's eyes, and he bring maybe a bit greater sensitivity, greater ability to communicate what's going on, and understanding what players need to hear, want to hear, can't hear, and maybe that helps you communicate with them, because there will be some hard communication moments coming up for him. There'll be some tough conversations he's going to have, you know, with players that have been really important to that organization. So in that sense, yeah, absolutely, that is a good point, that taking that perspective, which he has always had because he's done a good job for his clients, might help him here in the next little bit.
We had this discussion earlier this morning. So Kent Hughes has a son named Jack, coincidentally enough, who is a pretty highly ranked, kind of ranked toward the bottom of the first round. Potentially could be there if Montreal gets a late first or their second round pick. Let's say he's there. Would it be wise, do you, if he's at the top of Montreal's list and it's your chief scout that makes the pick, not the general manager, would it be wise to choose your son if he's there, or best for him and maybe for you, if you say, this one time, we're not going with best player available, we're taking the next guy on our list?
It's a really good question. Like, I'm thinking, like, if I'm the GM and my son was there, my parental instincts, like, of course I want to take him. And my parental instincts, like, I want to take him so I can have him in my organization and make sure that he's, you know, taken care of, not in an unfair way, but, you know, make sure that he's not, you know, getting the short end at all. But at the same time, Montreal, there's already... It's not accurate, and I like the way that during the press conference yesterday, guys, they were quick to dismiss, like, these two guys, Gorton and Hughes, are not best friends. They both said, like, we have a business relationship. We are not buddies. I didn't hire my buddy to be the GM. But I think, you know, if there's already that kind of, like, well, he hired the guy he knows, and that guy goes and hires his own son, like, it might be a little bit too close to the family. So I would probably say... you'd be well served to take the next best guy or trade down or whatever it might be. Unless he gets to a point where the value is there, like you're in the middle of the late second round, you're like, well, I got to take him because, you know, he's the first round talent. But, you know, I think, you know, one of my good, like, Shane Doan's son was drafted by Arizona, right? Like, that was not like they brought him into the fold. So it's not like it's unheard of, but I would be inclined to maybe let him go to a different organization.
Would you agree in the end that mom will make the decision?
Yes. And don't kid yourself.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not.
This conversation will happen way before. That's not happening on the draft table. They're like, listen, if you guys have the 24th pick and Jack is there, you are, yes, going to take him. You are not going to take him. That'll be well established in advance. Very, very true.
All right, soft. We've heard that coaches describe their team as that before, but purposeless was a new one for me, at least. Sheldon Keefe was not very happy with his Toronto Maple Leaf team last night, and maybe it's a culmination of what he's seen from his team over the past couple of weeks, where they got games with leads and have given up leads and lots of goals as well. Did you think that was an accurate and deserved criticism from the coach last night?
No, I don't think so. No, purposeless. That's a bit. It's a nice word, but it's a little bit strong. Yeah, they have. There are some issues for Toronto the last week have cropped up. Some of their defensive zone coverage, some of their play away from the puck hasn't been as good as it wants to be. They've played pretty good teams though. The Rangers, the Avalanche, Vegas. Like these are decent teams that they're playing against that are forcing Toronto into some mistakes. But, you know, I don't think soft or purposeless is an accurate way. They played well enough to win that game. Shesterkin was just much better than Jack Campbell. And I just wonder, and we know it well from watching Ottawa, when your goaltender plays really well, it covers up so many other mistakes, and it doesn't let those mistakes become issues. Because the goals don't go in, you don't feel bad, your confidence doesn't take a hit, you pick up more points, and it's easier to think, oh, we're playing really well. Like, how much worse, at least playing the last 2 weeks, worse is Jack Campbell playing? And I'm not criticizing Campbell. He's an all-star. He's had an incredible year. Was he going to be a 940 goalie the whole season? No. No, of course he's not. He's hoping to end up at 930, which means, you know, at best case, he's at 920 the rest of the year, which is not nearly as good as what he was at. So, you know, once he starts letting a few more goals in, all of a sudden, you know, the team looks purposeless and soft. And I think it's just, yes, they've had mistakes, but they've always had mistakes. They've not been a perfect defensive team this year the whole time. And maybe just the goaltending now not stopping all these shots is highlighting that a little bit. But Sheldon runs hot, and he runs hard on those guys. Like, he's a hard coach. He doesn't have that kind of soft touch of just, you know, very kind of touchy-feely, very friendly. And I think you saw a little bit of that. I don't think they were as bad as maybe his comments made them look last night.
Any fear they're going to run Campbell into the ground based on the volume of games?
Yeah, when Mrazek hasn't barely played this year. So, I mean, I think you're going to start seeing Peter Mrazek get some more time. The whole plan, I mean, regardless of whichever one of these two guys became the number one goaltender, both of them have a history of, you know, maybe not dealing with 60 games that well or just never having done it. So yeah, I would think you could probably want to give Jack a little bit of a rest and a little bit, because as we saw yesterday, that new schedule coming out of that All-Star game, of which Jack Campbell now will go to for him, but he's not going to have 4 days off of just putting his feet up at a beach in Mexico and relaxing. He'll be doing all the All-Star things, having lots of fun, but he'll be on. And Toronto, like Ottawa, is playing a whole bunch of games during those Olympic breaks. I think they have 7 or 8 in 16 days. So you're going to need Mrazek to play 40% of the games the rest of the way. They got 50 left. Jack should play 30. Should play 20. And that would probably give your best chance. So I would expect to see Mrazek more.
The Leafs are most certainly going to make the playoffs. I think we talked with you last week about those. The 8 teams in the East seem pretty much set. And really, I don't think if Boston makes it and it's an all Atlantic Division top four, Sheldon Keefe likes to ride not only his goalie but his best players a lot. Like Matthews plays as much as maybe any forward in the league, and Marner is up there as well. Given the fact that, you know, they don't have to play to make the playoffs, they know they're going to make it, and it would be more seeding than anything, do you think that they will sort of pull back on the ice time that those guys, his big guns, will get in particular in the hopes that they'll be rested enough and be relatively fresh to start the playoffs? Or do you think, given the way that he likes to do it, that that's going to be something you're going to have to tell the coach to pull back on?
Maybe the last 5-8 games, right? Last 2 or 3 weeks, you might see some of that. But I think Sheldon and the Leafs will push to try to finish first. You know, that may seem unlikely, but they have games in hand on Tampa and Florida. The points percentages are quite close. I think he will play it normally, as is, until they get to the point where they say, okay, maybe we don't have a chance. We're kind of locked in. So instead of playing them 22, 23, the last 7-8 games, they get down to 16 or 17. I don't know if they go to load management levels, but I maybe they ease back a little bit to try to keep everyone fresh. But those guys are also used to playing that much, and they're pretty darn good when they do. So I don't think I'd see a big change initially, but maybe right at the end of the year to make sure that everyone is as rested as they can be. But again, it's 3 months away, and I don't care who wins. I'm not a Leafs fan. I may live in Toronto. I may have played for them, but I don't care if they win or not. But I can already feel angst of the moment going to be here in this city, because like they're going to play Florida, Tampa, or Boston in the first round, And given all the history, and we know since 2004 they haven't won a playoff series, and everything else, like to be at this point, to be a really good team, and to know that not be an upset if you don't win the first round, I can already feel the stress of that moment for this group, because they could very easily and maybe likely lose the first round again.
MJ, Marner's not a big guy, and last year, to me, he just flat out ran out of gas. Is that not a mistake in that case? Because, as I said, he just simply didn't have his legs under him in that Montreal series.
I mean, he's a first league all team player. So like, I mean, he played pretty well. There was no better right winger in the entire league last year than him. So I don't know if I can say they played him too much. When all of a sudden, like when McCallister flipped to the playoffs, he got tired, but he wasn't tired the last month. I don't know, Simmer. I mean, I think Montreal was checking diligently. I think Deneau, we learned how good Deneau could be. And Deneau played against Matthews and Marner, and he did a great job against them. I think there's a reality of the pressure of not performing or not scoring goals in the playoffs started to climb and get to him. And that, as you know, when you feel a little pressure, sometimes it weighs you down, makes you look tired, makes you look slower. But he was the first team all league last year. Mm-hmm. So it feels like whatever they did in the regular season worked out pretty well for him.
So the Sens will get the Penguins tonight, and normally when Pittsburgh is up near, like, they're going to be a playoff team, they're playing great, everybody, you know, for a million years, we go, wow, they got Crosby and Malkin, of course they're going to be really good, no doubt about it. This year, due to injury, Malkin's hardly played, and Crosby's missed a pile of games as well, and yet here they are, again.
Mm.
How much credit should go to Mike Sullivan for how, you know, how good Pittsburgh is year after year?
A lot. And maybe more this year than ever, because you mentioned the roster with Sid coming off of surgery and Gino not playing. And they've had as many, it seems like, COVID and injuries and everything else as anybody in the league. They've had guys in and out of the lineup, important players. They've all missed time spattered throughout. But one thing Mike Sullivan has done is that he's gotten that team, and maybe without Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin to start the year, it was almost an easier message to deliver. But to almost commit to playing a tighter brand of hockey, like more defensive, more structure, more awareness, because when Sid and Gino are there, like, they don't need that structure to win games. Those guys just can score goals with, you know, outside the structure of a team. But when they're not there, I think you get guys to buy in a lot easier. And then now you have this strong defensive game and you introduce that skill back to it. And you see this very successful run they've been on. They're pushing right up to try to win the division as well. And Mike Sullivan deserves a ton of credit. He's a good coach. He understands how to coach grinders, checkers. He also understands how to coach star offensive players, and not every coach can do all of that.
And how much do we give credit to Andy Chiodo, the new goalie coach, which switched out Mike Buckley? And again, I didn't even realize that, MJ, but it's night and day on what Jari's doing this year.
Yeah, Chiodo, our boy, we used to skate with him all the time. What a good dude he is. He's from Toronto. We would skate in the summers. He'd be one of the pros that would come out and play with us. And he's done a really good job. Now, Jari's had good runs before, Simmer, right? You know, like he's been, I think a few years ago, he was one of the best goalies the first half of the season. And then maybe he's tailed off with some inconsistencies, but he looks locked in, so steady, so solid. And Jari, to his credit, has talked about the job Andy has done with him. So proof is in the pudding. The numbers are there, and I guess verbally, when the goalie's saying, yeah, our goalie coach has done a great job kind of working with me technically, but also emotionally, mentally, and then you put up those kind of results, yeah, Andy deserves a lot of credit.
I want to get your opinion, because you weren't on with us yesterday. The game-winning goal was scored the other night against Ottawa, with the huge scrum near the benches and the officials allowing play to continue, and it was a huge debate point here in Ottawa, and the fact that the Sens lost and that was the game-winning goal, you can guess how most of the fans felt about it. What was your opinion? Should the whistle have gone or not?
Yes, it should have gone, but that doesn't excuse anyone from stopping playing because it did not go. Like, I think the expectation was that it would go. I think they probably should have blown it. But if you haven't heard it, then you can't assume that it will go. So, you know, you have defensively the last man back. You got Jankowski picking his pocket because he's barely playing anymore because he's watching this 4-on-4 scrum / fight break out, and he goes in and scores a goal. You have to play to the whistle. The only problem I have, and you know, refs do this on occasion, but the game was going on, right? Live play, and there's a scrum happening. The linesman's in there. I don't know who it was, but he's got his hands on guys. Like, he's pulling guys left and right and trying to separate them, which you understand why he's doing it. But on some level, like, if I'm playing, don't touch me when I'm playing. Like, if you're going to touch me, then blow the whistle, and then you can touch me and separate me. But you don't know where I'm going. I might be going to change. I might be going to stretch things out. I might be going to shove someone. Like, I don't like the idea of refs touching players, directing them to go one way or another during the game. But that not necessarily resulted in the goal. If you don't hear the whistle, you got to keep playing on it, even though I think everyone would have assumed the whistle was going to and probably should have been blown.
The other talking point was DJ Smith not using a timeout, not pulling the goaltender. Just thoughts on how that final 3 minutes played out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess every coach has their own philosophies depending on the game and what's going on and everything else. And, you know, I you don't get to take, you don't get to carry timeouts going forward, right? So generally speaking, if I'm a coach, anytime you think you might want to take a timeout, first or second period, like I would be inclined, like, go ahead and take one, because, you know, it doesn't matter whether you do or you don't at the end of the game. So maybe he thought the Sabres were tired. Maybe he thought he had a preferred matchup, whatever it was, so he elected not to. But I think probably coaches generally sit on timeouts too much.
Last one for you, Mike. They announced as you mentioned, the redone schedule yesterday. There are 99 days between today and the end of the season. The Ottawa Senators and the New York Islanders are going to play 50 games in those 99 days, and Ottawa's got a run next month of 9 games in 14 days. Now, a bunch of them are at home, but still 9 and 14. How taxing do you think that potentially is and would be on a team?
It's going to be unbelievably hard. You know, just to maintain a physical level, to stay healthy, to stay engaged, it's going to be very, very difficult. The good news is, though, 99 days in 50 games, you know what that tells me? I don't have to practice again this year. Like, I am only playing games. That is it. It is morning skates, optional, show up for the game, try to find some energy, and give it your best. Sometimes you drop the puck to start a game.
Yeah, they've had more than their fair share and fill of practices for the last month or so. So, yeah, they're probably not too disappointed with that as well. Okay, appreciate the time, as always, and the insight, and look forward to chatting with you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
R. Simmer and Hammer were here until 10 o'clock this morning. That's when Steve Lloyd and company take over on In the Box between 10 and 2, and that'll be your next chance to win with our big game contest with Gabriel Pizza. Got $100 up for grabs. We already gave away our Gabe's winner earlier this morning, and congratulations again goes to Sherry. She was our winner in hour one, so they'll have a chance for you to win between 10 and 2, and then this afternoon, Lee and AJ are on the drive between 2 and 5 o'clock, because, of course, we've got the 5 p.m. pregame show. Lloydie will take you through that alongside Jamie Baker, leading you up to puck drop with Dean and Gord, Sens and Pens tonight.
Yeah, a very creative mood I'm in today, JR,
yes.
Probably because we get close to the weekend. I had the 50 and 99.
Uh-huh.
Because of the rotating guests, and they're certainly outstanding, and for the most part, CJ and Creech do a great job. But don't you think the midday show should be lounging with Lloydie? And I could see him on a couch and probably smoking a pipe, right? Are you guys feeling that? Like lounge, and isn't that perfect midday?
Yeah, it would. I'm not here to question.
Okay.
I have not seen Steve Lloyd in the better part of 2 years.
That's true.
So
okay.
I'm certainly seen some.
But
some
you could take that beautiful,
well,
that beautiful picture that was taken him years ago with the frosted tips.
Yes,
okay, you could use that.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely, we'll throw him in a recliner. A big pipe going.
Yeah, lounging.
Slippers.
Lounging with Lloydie.
Yeah, nice little, maybe a glass of red there to the side.
Oh,
a little early in the day. But,
but that's okay.
And, of course, it's two kids that are at home most of the time because school's often not in session. So there we go.
Yeah.
School not in session, Sens in session. Mm-hmm. There we go. Speaking of which, he segued beautifully. Simmer, are you familiar with what Cameo is? Cameo?
You can send a message for a birthday party or something, right?
Yes. Yeah. So people who are everything from some of the biggest celebrities in the world to people who I think we would fairly describe as not even B-level, but D-level people are willing to, for a price, say you want to get a hold of them and you want to send a special message from that celebrity to someone in your life. They'll do it for you for a price. Well, Listen, Bruce Boudreau is a fun guy. Yeah. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
And Matt Boesty, who's a member of Sen's Twitter, and I'm not sure if this is really recent. I'm thinking that it is, whether he sent Bruce, and Bruce is on Cameo, believe it or not, sent him a message about, hey, can you voice up Sen's in session? Now, I know what Cameo is. I don't know exactly what you do, whether you give the entire message that you want delivered or you just say, this is the person I want to give a shout out to. This is what they're celebrating. So it's Simmer. It's his birthday. Can you wish him a happy birthday? And then they just go on a bit of a spiel about that or whether you actually send everything or maybe it's some mixture, whatever. Anyway, quite obviously, so Matt sent one to Bruce Boudreau and wanted him to say the Sens are in session, as has become, you know, what Sens Twitter loves to say when the Sens are playing a game. So Bruce was more than willing to play along. Although, as we play this here, obviously I had no idea what that meant.
Hey, this is to the Senators. This is Bruce Boudreau talking here. I got to tell you, the Senators are in session. And Matt wanted me to tell you that just say, I'm Bruce Boudreau and the Sens are in session. Now, I don't know if it's the Ottawa Senators, the Kitchener Senators, or the Vancouver Senators. But if they're in session, you guys start listening and listen to whoever's talking out there. But have fun with this and go with it. We'll talk later.
That's why I think it's probably not all laid out for you. No. Just say this and then give a spiel. And so that was Bruce Boudreau. Now, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So we're going to guess as to how much Bruce Boudreau, how much Matt paid Bruce Boudreau to do a Cameo shout out.
Yeah.
For Sens in session. So, Simmer, I'll give you the first guess.
$75.
$75 for Bruce Boudreau. Simmer, or Hammer, does it say how long your message is allowed to be or how much they'll talk?
I think it's about a minute, 45 max, seconds to a minute.
Max a minute? Okay. Bruce Boudreau. Now, he did not have a job before, right? He was just kind of doing...
Well, that's when he's out of work, right?
Yeah, now he's getting paid big bucks for Vancouver. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking price does not come down, despite the fact he's making big bucks again. 75 is a real solid guess. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go, though, I'm going to say $100 for Bruce Boudreau. What is his price for a Cameo?
For Cameo for Bruce Boudreau, it is... $63 Canadian.
Wow, really?
So $50 American.
Bucks.
Yeah. How do you come up with? Oh, okay. Is that what it would be?
Well, in that around that. That's the only way you probably. And also in that, Bruce looked like Santa Claus when he's out of, you know, doing his off season work.
Yeah, and shaved.
He loves the red wine. I don't know if he'd tipped into that. And he also has an opportunity, and maybe he was angling for this. I mean, if you're going to redo Coach's Corner, I mean, obviously his Canadian twang would be perfect for it, would it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now we're going to have to ask Matt, we're going to have to direct message him and ask if we can borrow that, just the little piece of it, because we need to have that. Yeah. We need to have that, and if we need to give Matt something for that, but we need to say, we need to keep the I don't know what it is, but the Sens are in session, if it's the Kitchener Senators or whatever.
Hammer should purchase that. And then
out of his own pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
How much would that be? $21 of the $63 that Matt paid?
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, now what I have not really, had not figured out this whole Senators in session, so I'm assuming this is a play on the government form of the Senate in the United States is in session. Okay, I'd never even thought of that.
Or in Canada. Yeah, and we have a Senate as well.
Well, and those guys don't do anything, right?
They're all paid. Maybe that's the joke.
Yeah, but I thought he was going to go down the government road here. The Senators are in session, and that really, to me, I thought there might be a strong filibuster going on as well.
All right, so who are, Hammer, you've been going through it. So as we said, there are many people who are on Cameo, from some of the biggest stars
to a lot
of people you've never heard of before.
Yeah. Athletes and whatnot, too.
So you just put in some random hockey players, for instance?
Yeah, I just tried to do just a quick little search about some of the most expensive and then some other people in hockey. And Haley Wickenheiser is actually on Cameo.
Okay.
And she's $125.
Ooh.
She is $1 more expensive than Chris Pronger.
Wow.
Chris Pronger is on Cameo?
$124.
Hey, this is Chris Pronger. I'll come over and elbow your friend in the head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What seems to be the most expensive Cameo, I don't know, personality, is also an athlete.
Mm-hmm. Can we guess?
Yeah.
You can guess.
Okay. I will go. Who would really want, you know, if you're a...
This is an easy one.
Well, I was going to say LeBron.
No.
Okay, all right LeBron there, James. Mr. Smarty Pants.
I'm going Ronaldo all day long.
I didn't see Ronaldo.
Oh,
now, remember,
darn it.
They have to really love money.
Oh, okay.
Right? Floyd Mayweather?
Floyd Mayweather.
Way to go,
no,
nice.
Oh, way to go me. Yes.
I looked.
$15,000. For something like Bruce Boudreau. Wow. Something like what?
Wow. I was looking down the list there, and Stuntman Stu's 50 cents, and just below him is O.J. Simpson for free.
You know what, Simmer? We got to get you on Cameo. Who amongst the listeners right now wouldn't want a shout out from Simmer?
I actually, the guy that we did the one of the earlier, the birthday party, I think we should, the bill's in the mail, right?
Which guy?
Okay.
Remember when the three of us outside the station,
the guy was
holding signs?
Yeah, the guy said it was his son or his son-in-law.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of the show, and he was in Montreal, and could you guys do a shout? And he actually came down to the station. We did a little shout out there. Yeah, that's true.
Stuntman Stu is on Cameo.
Okay.
Big surprise. It, not quite 50 cents there, Simmer.
I'll go Stu.
$30. Boy, you're giving him a lot of credit.
Sorry. 15?
Now we're in the ballpark here.
No way.
$13.
Really? You're not serious. And he would actually do that?
And he we can come up with whatever we want.
You know what?
Stu's going to have to say it. He's just going to collect, I don't know what percentage is, maybe $3 out of the 13.
I'm going to message him and ask him how much he actually makes from this.
There we go.
I'd be interested to know.
Wow. Stuntman anyway. Stu on Cameo, $13. If you're a business, it bumps up to $88.
Send us a text if you'd like Simmer to get on Cameo and how much you'd be willing to have Simmer send a message to whomever.
My specialized messages will be from the bathtub, too.
With the bath pillow.
That's a nice little added bonus.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Well, you've got to have the bubbles placed correctly, right?
Oh, exactly.
Well, I'm going to give
it away. So, and I'd hope that there'd be enough water.
And it takes a lot of bubbles.
Sure.
Really? Honestly?
Sure it does.
Sure, buddy.
Usually, the more you have to drop the anvil, as it were.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you'll be on your pillow there, just sitting back, you know, maybe with a nice little tea or something.
Who would, from an athlete standpoint, I would have assumed that the Jenner lady would have been way up there as
Caitlyn
well, Hammer.
Jenner is one of the top outside of Floyd Mayweather. She's $1,500.
Okay.
She did pop. I did see her.
Okay.
$1,500 for one of those 60-second messages.
I've been watching that Cheer show. Have you guys seen that? The documentary on the Cheer group in Texas?
Cheerleaders?
Yeah, I'm into season 2.
I'm still trying to get to Man versus Machine.
Yeah, no, I know, but the girls there, they're up to $100 on what they're able to get you send a message
on Cameo.
Yeah, I think so. I did
cheerleaders from a reality show.
Well, this has really become quite a big deal here. It's a college, and they've won the national championship a bunch of times.
Okay.
Then one of the coaches was arrested, but they had been, when they won this, they've all become, not Jersey Shore, but they've all become celebrities. I mean, almost like kind of like Tiger King.
They're all part of the Navarro group? Is that it?
Exactly, yeah.
So we've got Lexi Brumback, who looks to be the second most expensive cheer person at $138.
Holy cow, wow. Yeah,
the most expensive is at $125, Ladarius Marshall.
Okay. Yeah, this is a real it's a factory, and like anything else, the competition and all the drama that goes on with it. So
Mike writes, I'd pay $50 for Simmer to send a "Where the hell are you?" to Pierre Maguire.
Where's Pierre? Hey, I thought he might be doing the Siberian Railway, maybe doing like an Omsk, Novosibirsk, and ending in Khabarovsk. That might be a possibility before the spring thaw, because it gets a little messy.
I'd pay $20 for Simmer for a Simmer cameo, but he wants it all in French, Josh writes.
So, okay, yeah.
Could
you
do it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Bonjour, what's his name again?
Josh.
Bonjour, Josh. Quel âge es-tu? Bonne fête.
You could also get our very own Dean Brown.
What?
Our very own Dean Brown.
Dean is on there?
For 75 bones,
Whoa!
Baby. I searched out Gord Wilson.
Yeah.
Goody. Not on
Cameo. Not there.
Dino would be using from the hot tub, right?
Oh, yeah, or for the big log house.
Yeah.
That'd be beautiful.
75. What was Stu again? Stu was 23
was
or?
He, no, 13. $13?
Well, what was it? Okay, I'm going to have to talk 13. To either Dean or Stu. something is amiss there.
This
something is awry.
This is his brisk.
$13.
Stu, I actually did look it up. Stu is huge in Asia. There's a lot of people in North Korea appears to be his real popular spot.
Names just keep popping in my head to search in Cameo to
You got
to
have some. Mendez has got to be on there.
Ian Mendez.
Or he should be.
What do you think?
Right?
If he's on there, what do you think he's worth?
Jesus.
Ian at least, is not on there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He'd be worth it. Oh, at least, yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not.
Okay.
Now, Steve Lloyd is also not on.
All right, we need to move along. 8:58. You know what? Let's pay the $13 and get Stu to do something.
He's got to do Marilyn Monroe wishing us a happy birthday, and he's got to be in the white dress.
Oh,
eh?
That would be.
Can
awful,
they
eh?
Say no to this? Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
It's got
to
be.
No, they're the ones that post it. What do you mean? You know, it's not. They don't just put you out there, Hammer. You have to sign up for it.
Yeah, I know. And so
Joe Bowen's always popping up on my Facebook. Right.
For people hiring him?
Oh, yeah. No, and Joe, I could understand that in the lease market. And big Green Bay fan.
You know what? The thing with Joe Bowen is he'd be able to give you a holy Mackinac.
Yeah.
Right? He'd be doing that. So.
Oh, and you'd have, if you're a lease fan, you have that as your ringer.
Yep, absolutely.
Even Brown, $75. Joe Bowen, looking for a Brown, $100.
Okay. Well, there we go.
More
Joe
expensive.
Carter.
More expensive to live in that market.
Eh? I'd pay $200 to get Simmer to cameo as Barney Rubble laugh. There you go.
Yeah.
$200 Simmer.
I don't think it's an auction. I think But
I can't just do that, right? I don't have the fake laugh.
I don't know if you get to set the price or not.
Well, of course you do. What do you mean? Or I don't, or you mean the people on there?
So Stu has set the price at
That's a low bar. Like, I'm at the point where I'd say, why bother?
If I Googled that, then I'd assume that the guy's a loser, right? Because, I mean,
Stu, no, if you're listening, cards and letters to Simmer.
No, Stu's an awesome guy, but I assume, like, other notables are Nick Nolte. Flavor.
Chris on the Rito is willing to get you a bag of grapes, Simmer.
Oh, nice. Oh, I got the South African yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's a nice grape.
Okay. Apparently Bobby Ryan's on there, Matt writes. Yeah. Bobby Ryan? What's Bobby Ryan? Bobby Ryan, I'm going to go. Hey, Bobby Ryan.
Hey, Bobby Ryan.
Bobby Ryan would be, I'm going to go 150 for Bobby Ryan.
I'm going, I think he's really doesn't have much of a Twitter following. I'm actually going Bobby, I'm going $80.
$63 for
what?
Bobby
really?
Ryan.
Okay, all right, there you go. Fill your boots, everybody. Is it, what is it, cameo.com?
Yes.
Want to go hire somebody?
We got to sign up as a trio. Hey, we could do
No, we don't. You go ahead.
We get like $2 each, $6.
All right, 9 o'clock. We'll take a break. Top of the hour update is on the way. We'll get this back on the rails. It's the Sens and Pens. We'll set you up for a game night tonight. Eric Brandstrom weighs in as he tries to continue his better play of late. We'll hear from him, get you the latest on the lineup, and continue to go through the rest of the hockey and set you up for the football playoffs as well coming up this weekend as hour four is around the corner. No cameo. We're right here in front of you on your radio 5 days a week on Sports Radio TSN 1200.